Did you see Will Ferrell, a guest hosting on Saturday Night Live? In his opening monologue, he struggles to express his feelings for his mom.
You went into a hospital building, right? A long time ago, and strange men pulled me out of your lady parts. Wait, that was bad. That's bad. That's bad. God, why is this so hard? Is it the piano? It's the piano, isn't it? The piano player is awful. I'm sorry about that, Mom. He's terrible. You know what? I'm just gonna think about all the things you did for me, mom person. You made milk for me. Like the lady from the cover of the Time magazine.
The cover of Time magazine. It must have been great because everyone is talking about it. And the mom nonchalantly breastfeeding a very healthy-looking 3-year-old. But often overlooked in the brouhaha over that picture is the discussion inside the magazine about attachment parenting and its biggest champions, Dr. William Sears and his wife Martha, who wrote the baby book 20 years ago. Attachment parenting holds that the more time babies spend in their mom's arms, breastfeeding or in a sling or sleeping with their parents, the better adjusted the children will be. But does it also lead to helicopter parenting? And our next guest asks, what about the parents? What's best or even possible for them? We want to spend a few minutes on the subject of parenting today with Margaret Nelson, professor of sociology at Middlebury College in Vermont, author of Parenting Out of Control, Anxious Parents in Uncertain Times. Professor Nelson, Margaret, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We'll start by saying you are not a pediatrician, and we want to get some of the cultural aspects from your point of view in a couple minutes. But let's just start by laying out some of the science, because the Sears also say that, for instance, excessive crying can damage a child's brain. Now, this runs up against the thinking that allowing babies to cry for controlled periods makes them better sleepers. Time reports that the science shows allowing a baby to cry for a brief period of time will not cause brain damage. Also reports that researchers say that sharing a bed with a baby can sometimes be dangerous. But touch on the thing everyone is talking about because of that cover, the breastfeeding. You know, we know it's beneficial, but, what are you hearing about this, the age, going to older ages?
I'm clearly, as you said, I'm not a pediatrician. I'm a sociologist, so I have no specific expertise in the area of breastfeeding. I did consult with a colleague of mine, Jacqueline Wolf, who teaches at the Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine in Ohio. And she says her research demonstrates that the longer you breastfeed, the better it is, both for mother and for baby. But I think, going back to the Time magazine cover, toddlers don't breastfeed standing on stools and pulling down their mother's shirts. I mean, toddlers are babies, and they curl up in their mother's lap. So some of the benefit is social. That picture obviously did not convey how it is children normally breastfeed from their mothers.
Well, putting that picture aside, because we're going to, we'll just say that Time magazine finds that the American Academy of Pediatrics agrees frequency and duration are for mom and baby to determine. Everybody else probably should butt out. But, people are weighing in on the book and the theories behind the baby book because of the pressure it's perceived as putting on parents. Let's just talk through how Sears came to his thinking. He read the work of the father of attachment theory, who is a Brit named John Bowlby, who studied orphans with no parents at all, ever, and concluded they were less well-adjusted than parented kids. And then Bill Sears read a book called The Continuing Concept. This was written by a woman who observed indigenous people in Venezuela and concluded that babies are better off if you carry them in slings all the time. They're better behaved. Your thoughts on kind of this look back and compilation of research to come up with this current thinking of the attachment theory?
Well, once again, I mean, it's not my particular area of expertise, and I can address some other issues later on. But it does seem to me that the bigger question is, why has that become so attractive to so many parents, rather than whether this is the best parenting practice, who in fact is attracted to the idea that their baby should be attached to them all the time, that they should be breastfeeding all the time, and that they should never ignore a cry or a whimper on the part of their babies.
Well, Judith Warner and others agree with you that parenting theories in the U.S. have always been in these pendulum swings. There was, in the early 1900s, James Watson, who told parents, you know, don't even kiss your child, shake their hand. And then Dr. Spock came along and said, you know what to do, and you know how to be loving to your child. And then we have, you know, now attachment parenting. What is it reflecting for you?
I think for me what it's really reflecting right now is that there's a lot of cultural anxiety about the fact that women are in the labor force. There has been for some time. There's lots of cultural anxiety about what happens when mothers are away from their children. And I think that there's also a group of parents who are terribly anxious about the future of their children and desperate to find anything that's likely to secure their success down the line. I think when we think about attachment parenting, one of the first things we have to say about it is it's not possible for most parents. I mean, most people cannot wear their babies all the time. If you're serving hamburgers at McDonald's, I think you're unlikely to be able to wear your baby as you do that kind of work. So we have to recognize that there's a certain social class who could even conceivably be attracted to or enact this kind of parenting style.
Margaret Nelson, professor of sociology at Middlebury College and author of Parenting Out of Control, Anxious Parents in Uncertain Times. We were prompted to do this by the Time magazine cover about attachment parenting, which holds that the more time babies spend in their mother's arms, the better they will be. But Margaret, I was just before the break referring to consultants in New York who say they're coming across patients that have post-traumatic Sears disorder. That's the exact name of it. This is named after the Dr. Sears and his wife Martha, who wrote the baby book, who are calling for this attachment parenting. You were saying that, you know, part of the problem with it is that it's impossible for so many people.
Well, the idea that you have to be always available to your parent, to your child, obviously is impossible for anybody who's working outside the home, and probably even for anybody who's working inside the home or anybody who has another child. So, and it has to be people who, with some resources, even the Sears say that they were providing the resources for their daughters-in-law, I think it was, to stay home and take care of their children, and their sons are doctors.
And they subsidize this. They say,
right.
You know, we felt we should. Well, but, you know, and you say the same divide is happening in helicopter parenting. We want to get to that. But, you know, talking about how these pendulum swings in childcare happen, you said there's a lot of unease about, you know, women going into the workforce. Some people felt that the Sears had an agenda here because before they wrote the baby book, they wrote an evangelical version in which they questioned whether a mother should go back to work. They said that's not God's design. And then the Sears have also talked about their past history. He was abandoned by his father when he was an infant. His wife had a mentally ill mother and her father drowned. And his wife, Martha, has said, you could say I'm reacting to my own background, feelings of abandonment, when I say don't let a child cry themselves to sleep, which is part of their thinking. You know, so how much does parenting become, you know, maybe overcompensating for what you didn't have as a child?
Well, I would be hesitant to comment about the Sears. I mean, I think they're doing what they're doing. I think the more interesting question is, how come their book has gotten so much attention?
Right.
And why is it that there is a group of parents who think that this is what they might be doing with their children? And I guess one thing I'd say is, you know, this is a country that does not support mothers. This is a country that does not allow maternity leave. This is a country that makes it very difficult for women to work outside the home and to parent their children however they want to do it. So I think there is a group of women who probably got pushed out of very high status jobs because they couldn't both parent and be workers. Pamela Stone's work on opting out discusses that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And when many of them professional women, many of them highly educated women, go home, well, they find it, they use the same skills in parenting that they were using outside the home. So they go into parenting with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now switch to helicopter parenting, which you write about, and which is, you know, with older children. Is that a natural extension for some people of attachment parenting?
I would guess it's an extension. I actually don't use the term helicopter parenting. I use the term parenting out of control, but maybe the terminology matters less than that I am describing a kind of intensive parenting that could grow out of attachment parenting but need not. Mostly what I'm concerned with in my research is the fact that I think parents are very anxious about the future right now. I think that we live in a time of enormous economic uncertainty, and if you don't know what it is that's going to be able to make your child successful, the best strategy may be to stay very close and keep very attentive and to intervene when you suspect that a child may be going down the wrong path.
Well, and look, we mentioned that doctors in New York are saying they're seeing women just completely stressed out and exhausted from trying to do the attachment parenting. You write that you are worried about let's not call them helicopter parents, but parents who hover and maybe over-involved with their kids. You're talking about, you write about a mom who doesn't put a filter on the TV. She sits and watches with the kids and asks them what they're doing every second. And it's exhausting for parents who, in fact, are not having a life of their own. Tell us more about that and also about the class divide that you see.
Well, I do think, thanks for asking, I do think that this kind of parenting is exhausting. I think that it has consequences for people's relationships. But I also think it has consequences for our communities. I think that people who are focused on their own children are less likely to be more broadly involved in their communities as a whole. And I think in a time when the burdens of caring for families have been shifted back onto families, it's not surprising that people have picked up on that burden. But I think one of the consequences is that we have less time for other people, less time for our communities, less time for social action, and less time for social engagement in general. So I think that the consequences that I'm concerned about really have to do with parents rather than children. Children will be fine. Almost no matter what we do with children, they'll be fine. But some of these parents may be exhausted.
Well, and just to note it before we say goodbye, you say that parents who can afford to spend every second with their kids, maybe they're working full-time, not to say that some of the helicopter parents aren't also working, but they put the screens on their TV set. They, they're not sitting there monitoring what they watch. They find other ways to interact with their kids and aren't as exhausted about it.
I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah. Margaret Nelson, professor of sociology at Middlebury College, author of Parenting Out of Control, Anxious Parents in Uncertain Times. We'll tell you more about that at hereandnow.org. And Professor Nelson, come back and talk to us more about that in the future. Thanks so much.
Thank you.